Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Benke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, December 6, 2007, is a look at the loss to the Cowboys, Brett Favre's roller coaster week, and a preview of the upcoming game against the Raiders. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
Remember where we were this time last year. We were 4-8, and we were able to make a run at the end of the season, which is the foundation of what we've been able to build off of for this season. And that's how we view this team coming in here. So we need to be ready to go.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Corey.
And this is Aaron.
And today we'll have a post-mortem on the meltdown against the Cowboys. Talk about Brett, both good and bad. And, of course, look at the Raider Nation game. So let's get started with the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Who today
who would have thunk it?
Yeah, I'm going to put him on the ugly category now, though.
Easy.
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings, who, may I just say, turned
ridiculous.
A five-yard out to like a 45-yard game.
That was amazing.
That was ridiculous.
Ryan Grant talking about ridiculous with that play.
That touchdown.
That was the feel-good play for me of the
it
game.
It really was. Put us back in as well. Exactly.
We got the bad. We got, the entire secondary. Oh,
Al Harris, of the starting
Jared
secondary
Bush,
is in the
Atari
bad.
Bigby, you're
Yikes.
In the bad. And
Ouch.
We got ugly. We got
Brett Favre. Never thought he'd be there again.
I got to put Darren College, and I got to put the rest of the offensive line there as well.
Yeah, they're contributors. But
and you know what? I got to put Ryan Grant in there a little bit.
But Brett's Ryan Grant.
Pass protection.
There
were two plays.
He didn't blow any.
He blew half of one.
Not like Darren College did.
That's true.
However, Brett Favre is responsible for the throws that he took, that
it's
he
true.
Shot downfield.
Well, and Mike McCarthy tried to back him up, saying that was part of his game plan,
which
I find
really,
really hard to believe. I know I don't see film on all the other teams, but I have seen Dallas play, and
right.
I don't think that my initial game plan would be, I'm going to throw
Let's
deep.
Chuck it deep.
You know what? If I take the 350-pound best friend of mine to the prom, which I did not do, but...
Metaphorically,
I was going to take the 350-pound woman
Let's
to the prom.
Let's say the short passing game was the 350-pound girl.
I would stay with her. I would dance with her. And you know what? I'd probably try to go home with her
exactly.
at the end of the night. Because
but here's
I'm
the
not going to be tempted by the prom queen. I'm
Is
not going to be tempted
queen,
by
you know,
the
sitting down there
the,
going,
the sexy
hey,
girl next
throw
door.
Throw down field.
Take what you
Hit
brought
me,
to the
big
prom.
Boy.
Yeah.
No, you don't leave your date and go with the sexy girl.
No.
Because she looks sexy. Because you know what happens? You get picked off.
Yeah. And they got one good cornerback. And
and he's on driver the whole game.
But you've got all this stuff underneath.
But they were playing too deep coverage. That's the other thing. Like, he's taking all these shots downfield. And you watch the tape, and it's like, they got guys back there.
Yeah.
These guys are like double and triple covered.
It's not like somebody's totally free like the Denver game or Kansas
exactly.
City. Or they
it's
all
not
like
one man to beat single safety to one side.
Although Brett does say, we've got his audio now about that.
That Ruvell Martin play. I mean, he tries to make a case for it, but why are you throwing deep to Ruvell Martin? Ruvell Martin is great in the red zone because he can use his height, but deep, he's not a speed demon. He's not outrunning anybody. And on the play in question, yes, he has a step on the corner, but the safety, I'm not so sure.
Well, let's hear what Brett has to say about it.
There was another option on the play. He was more of an alert. Had I thrown the ball 3 yards further, he may score, and I underthrew him. And I was the decision part of it. It's one of those. It's not bad if it works. And I was a little bit cautious on the throw. I'd thrown one earlier to James on a post route, and thought I made a really good throw, and overthrew him. And my last thought on the pass to Ravel was don't overthrow him. Don't overthrow him. And you know, we all know what happens when you start thinking that way. You just got to let it go.
Yeah, you let it go, all right.
You certainly let it go there, Brett. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Methinks Brett didn't think he made any bad decisions there in that
No, he really
Cowboy
doesn't.
Game.
And, you know, if you look at the tape and you see Darren College running into him because he's bull rushed.
Goodness. Darren
Wow.
College. Talk about a mercy benching.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
you called it. You called it. And
I've been saying it since September.
Look, I saw everything I needed to see against Alphonso Boone, and I think that I just was like, oh, let's give him another chance.
Yeah, that's exactly what you were
doing.
And
you know what?
Like, holy cow.
I want to give Ted Thompson props. I want to give him props, right?
Right.
But if you get to the big dance,
right,
and three guys, and we all know who they are, they're sophomores in the Packers.
Sophomore guards.
Three guys, and you can't fill two positions.
I hear you. It's a trouble at the
moment.
It's
the biggest weakness of the Packers right now.
I will say, Spitz and Costin, they came to play.
Yeah,
once they were in their positions, Spitz moved to the left.
He couldn't put
Costin
in before because Costin was injured.
So, hopefully, and they've practiced there all week.
Though.
We'll see. Although I like Spitz at left because I think he's got the tenacity. He's got a little nasty in him.
Well,
I
and
like
as
it.
We've seen, that left side, that's the side that's where the
we've
guy, when he bull
problems.
Rushes, he hits
exactly.
Favre, and then he can't hit the long ball.
And speaking of Favre, one last thing on Favre before we move on. We'd like to congratulate Mr. Brett Favre for being named the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year.
Sportsman of the Year.
Congratulations
to
great.
Brett. I haven't read the whole Sports Illustrated article, but I just got it. One of Rachel's crew members gave me the...
The magazine.
Yeah, the magazine.
See, I haven't read Dead Tree in ages. I just read online. I don't know, but
it's a pretty cool cover.
It's a great cover. Some great photos. There was one photo in particular of... Brett meeting a little girl named Anna that really got... I was very emotional. I'm getting emotional right now.
Yeah,
just
I saw the press
it.
Conference about it.
I'm just... He's an incredible human being, and I wish we had more media coverage of things like his foundation and the work he does with Make-A-Wish and things like that, rather than, you know, all the negative stuff we hear about Pac-Man Jones and Michael Vick. And
I wish we could take for granted that everyone was like Brett Favre.
It would be great.
When it came to giving back to the community.
It would be great.
And then we wouldn't have to worry about, we could still just read about Michael Vick, but know that, you know, everybody else, 99% of the people in football
things.
Are amazing. I want to just say about Sportsman of the Year, you know, I saw it was in New York on Tuesday night, and I was looking for the Cheesehead TV invitation, and I didn't see
SI.
It. I didn't find
why
it.
Why are you not stepping up? We were waiting. We thought about maybe helping with the catering of the event, but that didn't happen either.
Yeah, I was going to infiltrate the wait staff.
SI, next time, let us know. You know, you're going to honor a Packer. We're here in New York. Just let's step up to the plate.
Yeah.
All right?
Let's talk about stepping up to the plate.
Or
let's talk about
not stepping up to
the
plate.
No, let's talk about people peeking in the backfield,
let's
I think
talk
is
about
the term.
Packer secondary.
Wow.
What happened?
This is the sound
I mean,
of me
really.
Eating crow right now.
What? How's that crow taste, Corey?
Okay.
I mean, that was horrific.
I'm sorry.
It was
for the 25 people listening right now.
After that loss, maybe 15.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm sorry that I said that we had shut down corners.
The apology is official, ladies and gentlemen. Shut down corners, maybe when we have both starting. But if Al's there by himself, all geeked up, wow.
You know, Johnny
ugly.
Gray put it into perspective
it
for me
ugly.
Today. I'm so glad I listened to the Sportsline podcast. Well, it's not a podcast, but it's like you get it the
radio
day after.
Podcast. What?
And Johnny Gray, you know, he puts it in perspective. He said, this secondary, and it's true, they haven't peaked in the backfield like they did against Dallas. They haven't done it.
All year.
They've been very disciplined.
It really
and
makes
it's really,
you wonder what happened.
He's like, were they jacked up because of the game? It just seemed like...
It seemed like the playoff-like
like
atmosphere
we thought Terrell Owens
to
was Roy Williams.
Right.
It seemed
right.
to me.
Yeah, no. I just... Like, Al would just shut him down, and that would be it.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, like, time after time, mistake after mistake, and the 3rd and 19 was... I mean...
Oh, my God.
Second only to 4th and 26 now
in Packer
lore. I
can't even talk
lore.
About that right
that
now.
That was so horrific.
I'm so
Al
in
Harris
denial.
Passing off Owens... To Bush, who did a, or I'm sorry, to Williams, who did a good job on him.
I don't know what's worse. When we were with Sherman and we had 3rd and 19 and you were like, please, God, don't get this, but I know you're going to. Or 3rd and 19 knowing they're not
they're
going to get it.
There's no way they can get
and
it.
And then they
and
get
then
it.
And then they got it. Yeah, that was really, it was just the turning point of the game.
Well, and I thought Mark Colombo would get beat worse by Aaron Campman. I'm a little bit disappointed in his performance, but it goes to show how important KGB is on that other side.
And the rest of the D-line rotation.
I even think KGB coming back is a way bigger deal than Charles Woodson because as much
as
Jared Bush and Tremont Williams was pretty good except for that pass interference
play at the end. Which I question, but I hear you.
It was PI, but, you know, whatever. I thought Jared Bush played pretty good. I thought... Everybody was peeking in the backfield. It was like,
ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call or email us if you agree with Mr. Banky on the old Jarrett Bush look, played pretty good.
The only reason angle, that I'm in Jarrett sure Bush's don't. Corner is because he's better than everyone who's been in that position in the last 7 years.
But is that enough? You know, and I understand that thinking. He is better than Ahmad Carroll was. He is better than Patrick Dendy was.
He's got to have time.
Was.
We gave Ahmad Carroll and at least seven that. Games before we
but
were all up his
butt. But if
you've
got someone on the bench, namely Tremont Williams, who obviously is playing better, why do you keep Bush in front of him?
Yeah, well,
that's what I don't understand.
I have two words for you.
I mean, the game on Thursday proved that.
Well,
they benched him for Williams.
Lionel Washington should be the secondary's coach, not just the defensive backs coach. And if he was the secondary coach of the Green Bay Packers,
not just the nickel package coach.
Yeah, oh yeah, nickel package. Right. What a crock.
What a crock.
Okay,
I mean,
if he was,
about?
We'd still have Mike McKenzie. But no,
absolutely.
Some people have to have pride, Mike Sherman.
I know. I hear you. And props to Mike
why
McKenzie.
Why is Schottenheimer even back there? I mean, we're going to get back to
you
Schottenheimer
back
every
there?
Time. That's
you know
the
why
thing.
He's back there? Because his last name is Schottenheimer. That's why he's back there. And that's it. And Mike coached with Marty there in Kansas City, and that's the history. And that's it.
Well, I think we said it last week. I think we said that if Nick Collins didn't have a good game, that there was going to be a cornerback safety
controversy.
Controversy.
And
I
Lord
think
knows,
there
should
is one.
Be. Tom Silverstein today.
I think there is one. I'm calling it. I'm saying there is one. If Aaron Rouse doesn't play this weekend, I'm going to Lambeau Field and I'm protesting.
It's a travesty, ladies
and
gentlemen.
No, I'm not really going to go there.
But Aaron Rouse should be starting. I think that's obvious. I mean, the guy started three games, two of which he's had an interception.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's just like...
The first game, he's getting his feet wet. The next two games, he picked guys off.
The game he's getting his feet wet, we happen to blow them out.
Exactly. Shut them totally out of the scoreboard. But why is he not starting? What does Nick Collins bring to the field that Rouse does not? You can say his experience, that's great. His experience didn't seem to serve him too well against Dallas.
Well, and there's another controversy. There's this competition thing. Mike McCarthy's going to talk about it. I'm going to play him in a little bit. And he's talking about, is there controversy at these positions? Not only the safety position, but...
Offensive line.
Offensive line. So let's hear what he has to say.
No, that's not something that we're talking about today. But I'll just say this, as far as our football team, we have a number of positions... A lot like the offensive line, a lot like the corners, where you have players that are very similar as far as where they are and their experience, what level they're playing at. So we just want to keep it competitive. I thought Aaron Rouse did a very nice job in his two opportunities as a starter. And Atari and Nick, it was not their best outing at safety, along with another, you know, with a number of people. That was not our best game in Dallas.
That was an understatement.
Understatement of the year, Mr. Mike McCarthy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new poll.
A new poll, finally,
new poll,
after
finally, we
like
finally
5 weeks.
We finally lost. I think it's been longer than 5 weeks.
Yeah,
but we have
right.
a new poll, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to all that have voted. Brand new spanking new poll. Who should be the starting safeties for the Green Bay Packers? Should it be Nick Collins and Atari Bigbee? Stick with the status quo.
No.
Should it be Nick Collins and Aaron Rouse? Or should it be Aaron Rouse and Atari Bigbee?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ladies and gentlemen, let your voice be heard. Go to cheeseheadtv.com.
Oh, wait. Speaking of ding, 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 vote on the poll. Ding, 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 ding. We have a Justin Harrell sighting.
Justin Harrell, ladies and gentlemen, the first round pick.
The first round pick.
Full snaps.
Wait. Let's see. He's got something to say. Let me play it for you real quick.
Defense is going to depend on the D-line, so it's a big challenge for us.
No.
If you people think we are letting Justin Harrell talk on our podcast,
you're crazy.
You're outside your mind.
You're crazy.
That's
look, but what we are going to talk about is this defense is predicated on Bob Sanders' defense, let's put it out it is, right?
Okay.
Right. Is predicated on four guys, whether they be defensive end, defensive lineman, four
the
guys.
Four defensive linemen.
Got to get a pass rush. If
gotta
they're not
get
getting
the
a pass rush, you can't turn around and blame it on Jarrett Bush and Frank Walker and Al Harris and all this stuff. Our whole entire defense is predicated on Frank Walker, Tremont Williams, whoever the heck it is, Al Harris, Aaron, anybody on the line,
right.
Hit the receiver in the mouth, and by the time the guy gets up and he can actually catch it, the quarterback's on his butt with your ball in his hands and Aaron Kampen running down the sideline for a touchdown.
I hear you. And you are correct. That is how the
if
defense is
that's the
is
philosophy.
Designed.
And all of a sudden you're in a game and the philosophy doesn't work anymore. Don't you got to change it up, Bob?
Yeah, well, hey,
Hello?
You know you're preaching to the choir here. You know Bob Sanders and I... We got a relationship.
And here's another thing. We have the only blitz that we can hang our hat on this season is a run blitz.
Yeah, it's a first
and
down
we can
blitz.
Hang our hat on that. But that's it. We don't have this little trickery blitz. We don't have a special blitz. AJ Hawk, he's not there. You can't send Nick Barnett and know you're going to get a sack.
I'm sick of the combination blitz where they send one guy in and then send the other guy in. It hasn't gotten home, I don't think, all year.
A lot of
teams
are using this delay, like against New England. They're using these delay blitz. And some of those work good. But here's the thing. You look at that. I think it was Vandermouse's column. I don't know who it was. It was talking about.
Oh, no. It was JS Online. About JS Online. Percentage of sacks.
You
right?
look at we send like 90 some percent of our defensive ends.
92% of our blitzes, or our sacks, sorry, are from the defensive line.
Are from the defensive line.
That tells you all you need to know
right
there.
And the second most team is Dallas, who plays a 3-4, which that's mostly linebackers. Like 20% of those guys are linebackers, so really they wouldn't even be close to there. So where are the linebacker sacks? Where's the pressure going to come from? Even a cornerback or a safety blitz?
Bob Sanders needs to step up. You and I both agree on that. However, I think all Packer fans, us included, can step back and look and say, okay,
it's true.
We're still 10-2. The Packers are still 10-2. And more importantly, they're one win away from clinching the North, and most importantly, they're in line for a bye week.
It's true. Come playoff. And that's very, 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 very important.
More than anything else. And people want to say home field advantage. I mean, yes. Would it be great to have the NFC Championship played in Lambeau? Of course it would.
And I could have gone, so it's a little emotional attachment for me.
However, more important than that is the bye week. I mean, yes, losing home field advantage is rotten. However,
playing two games versus three
is huge.
Priceless.
It's monstrous. I mean, I can't express it enough how important that bye week is. Well, so we're still in line for that. You know, relax. Hopefully, you know, McCarthy's a good coach. He's proven that. And he'll get the guys. He'll get the guys in a position to make plays and win games.
Well, you want to talk about hopefully. Hopefully, we have the new face of the Green Bay Packers.
The new president and CEO, Mark Murphy, congratulations.
You know, I say hopefully I was going to wait for the vote, but they did the vote. He's official.
He is. And we don't know much about him.
Hey,
we're not
the jury's
that we
still
do.
Out. The jury's
the
all,
jury is out.
I don't know anything.
We're not going to pretend we know
and
him.
Honestly,
however, I will say this. Northwestern was an athletic wasteland before he got there, and he has turned it into a respectable college athletically.
Yeah, but I would say the Green Bay Packers are not a wasteland right
now.
No,
they're not. They're not. I'm just saying.
So,
I'm just saying.
Can he polish the diamond?
We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you have not tuned into the latest porn podcast. That is that's a euphemism, ladies and gentlemen. A euphemism. However, no, we don't. Not much known about
okay,
it, but we do
that,
know that he's got that, Ted Thompson in line. He's got Mike McCarthy in line. Harlan said he's going to extend Thompson's contract. Of course, that means McCarthy should get extended when Thompson's extended. All
extensions
of which
all around
should happen. Now extensions for everybody.
Now that we've talked about the administrative stuff, let's talk about the stuff that matters. Although that president of the Green Bay Packers,
that does matter.
That's sort of important,
but not as much as this week, baby.
Not as much as the
not
Raiders.
Not as much as the Raiders.
That's right, the Raiders. And,
the
you
Raiders
know,
are coming
hey,
to town.
I've got some audio from James Jones. He's going to talk to us about the Raiders. Here he is.
They're playing good football, and like I said, it's the NFL, so anything can happen. Everybody got great players on their team, so we definitely can't take these guys lightly, and the players know that, and we know what's at stake, and you know we know what we got to do, and I'm sure we'll come out, you know, very intense, ready to win this game.
You know what you got to do. Everybody knows what you got to do. You got to do Ryan Grant left, Ryan Grant right, Ryan Grant on the alley,
up all night.
Oh, dude, that was poor. That was poor.
That was just a little rhyming couple of action.
But seriously, they just have to pound the football.
Pound.
I know that sounds weird coming from this team, but they need to pound the football.
You know who else needs to pound
day.
The football?
Who's that?
Aaron Kampman.
Yeah, the Packer defense needs
to
step up.
Oh, no. We need to get a shutout.
Some atonement.
If we don't get a shutout, I'm going to be disappointed.
I hear you.
I have
their
to be
offense
honest
has
with
been
you.
Playing better. And speaking of playing better, their defensive backfield has been playing
yeah,
better.
They're, yeah.
Top 10 in, against the pass.
Yeah, the Raiders ain't no joke when it comes to defense.
They are no joke.
Well, run defense.
Except for one position in particular, and that would be the defensive tackle
manned
by Warren Sapp.
Yeah, nobody cares he's coming back to town.
I hate you, you dirty loser, Warren Sapp.
All I have to say is, if they get the ball, if they do get a turnover, everybody, including Chad Clifton, needs to
just
put their head on a swivel.
As hard as they can.
Yeah, but just be watching
because he's a dirty loser. He's going to hit you. All I know is the autumn wind is a raider. The autumn wind is in for a beatdown.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us, and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.